Good morning, and welcome back to America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th Anniversary Edition. Today is Day 60 of the year, Sunday, March 1st, 2026. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are wrapping up our weekend historical deep dive into the Reconstruction era today. And we are looking at a man who is an absolute titan of American history. He is the general who finally won the Civil War, and the president who tried to secure the peace. We are looking at the 18th President of the United States, Ulysses S. Grant.
Stephen, Grant's life story is almost unbelievable because of how much he failed before he succeeded. If you looked at Ulysses S. Grant in 1860, right before the Civil War, you would have thought his life was essentially over. He went to West Point, but he was a terrible student. He fought in the Mexican-American War, but then he ended up resigning from the military because he was drinking too much and was deeply depressed about being away from his family. For the next 10 years, he failed at everything. He tried farming, and he failed. He tried real estate, and he failed. When the Civil War started, he was nearly 40 years old and working as a clerk in his father's leather shop in Illinois.
But the Civil War completely transformed him, because while all the other Union generals were overly cautious and terrified of Robert E. Lee, Grant understood the brutal math of the war. He knew the North had more men and more factories. He was willing to engage in relentless, bloody, continuous fighting. He won at Shiloh. He captured Vicksburg, and Lincoln finally promoted him to commanding general of the entire U.S. Army. He just ground the Confederate Army down until Lee surrendered at Appomattox. Overnight, he went from a failed leather clerk to the greatest hero in the North.
So when the 1868 presidential election comes around, the Republican Party practically begs him to run. The country is completely exhausted from Andrew Johnson's disastrous presidency. They just want stability. Grant accepts the nomination, and his entire campaign slogan was just four words: let us have peace. He easily wins the presidency. But Stephen, the skills that make you a brilliant battlefield general do not automatically make you a good politician.
That is the absolute truth. And we have to start with the best part of his presidency, his fight for civil rights. Grant genuinely believed that the North had a moral obligation to protect the millions of newly freed African Americans in the South. He pushed incredibly hard for the 15th Amendment, which finally guaranteed the right to vote for black men. But the problem was the Ku Klux Klan. The Klan was operating as a massive domestic terrorist organization, murdering black voters and Republican politicians all over the South to stop them from going to the polls.
And Grant did not mess around with the Klan. In 1870, he officially established the United States Department of Justice for this exact purpose. He signed the Enforcement Acts. He suspended the writ of habeas corpus in South Carolina, and he sent the U.S. military and federal prosecutors down there to literally hunt the Klan to extinction. And it worked. By 1872, the first iteration of the Ku Klux Klan was completely dismantled and crushed. It is one of the greatest civil rights achievements of the 19th century.
It really was. But unfortunately, while he was fighting for justice in the South, his own cabinet was robbing the country blind in Washington. Grant was a fundamentally honest man, but he was incredibly naive. He assumed that because he was loyal to his friends would be loyal to him. So he appointed all these old army buddies and political cronies to his cabinet, and they ended up being massively corrupt.
The scandals were everywhere. The biggest one was the whiskey ring. Millions of dollars in federal liquor taxes were being siphoned off and stolen by government officials. And the investigation revealed that Grant's own personal secretary was involved in the theft. There was also the Credit Mobilier scandal, where railroad companies were basically bribing congressmen with cheap stock to secure massive federal contracts. Grant was never personally involved in the corruption, but he refused to fire his friends when they were caught. It made his entire administration look completely unethical.
And on top of the scandals, you have the Panic of 1873. The railroad industry overexpanded, the banks collapsed, and the entire country went into a massive economic depression that lasted for years. So by the time Grant leaves office in 1877, his reputation has taken a massive hit. He actually goes on a 2-year tour around the world, meeting Queen Victoria and the Emperor of Japan, just to get out of the country.
But Stephen, we have to talk about how his life ends, because it is one of the most heroic and heartbreaking stories in American history. A few years after he leaves the White House, Grant invests his entire life savings, basically everything he owns, into a Wall Street investment firm run by a man named Ferdinand Ward. And it turns out, it was a massive Ponzi scheme. Grant is completely bankrupted. He has to borrow money just to buy groceries.
And right at that exact moment, he is diagnosed with terminal throat cancer. He knows he only has a few months to live, and he is terrified that he is going to die and leave his wife Julia completely destitute. So he decides the only way to save his family is to write his military memoirs. And he enters this desperate race against the clock. He is in excruciating pain he can't swallow. He is wrapping his throat in cocaine swabs just to numb the pain enough to hold a pencil.
And his friend, the famous author Mark Twain, steps in to publish the book. Grant sits on his porch in upstate New York, wrapped in blankets, just writing page after page. When he couldn't speak anymore, he wrote on little slips of paper. He finished the final manuscript on July 16, 1885. He died exactly 1 week later. And the book, asterisk, The Personal Memoirs of U.S. Grant, was a massive, massive success. It earned his widow the equivalent of over $13 million today. It saved his family, and it is still considered one of the greatest military autobiographies ever written.
It is the ultimate final victory. The general who fought through the Civil War and the president who crushed the Klan fought through unimaginable pain to secure his family's future.
The failed clerk who saved the United States.
That is President Ulysses S. Grant. That is our profile for the 18th president. We will see you tomorrow as we jump back into the modern congressional roll call. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.